You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Americans love their bottled water. Statistics from the Beverage Marketing Corporation tell us, well, sales of soft drinks, fruit drinks, sports drinks, even milk have dropped over the past 15 years. Bottled water sales are booming. In 2015, Americans guzzled nearly 12 billion gallons of bottled water. And that's quite a jump from the 4.5 billion gallons that we drank in 2000. All that demand means Swiss corporation Nestle wants to pump more water out of the ground in West Michigan. Nestle wants to increase pumping from 250 to 400 gallons a minute at one of its wells near Everett in Osceola County. And the public nearly missed its chance to comment on this proposal. Michigan Radio's Rebecca Williams and Mark Brush have been looking into this for the Environment Report. Tell us more about Nestle's request, Mark. I mean, how much water annually is being pumped and how much does Nestle want to pump?
Well, they basically want to, like you said, increase the amount they pump at this well site in Everett, Michigan. Essentially, when we talk to the company about how much they're pumping now, they say that on average they're pumping at a rate of 100 gallons per minute. So that works out to about 52 million gallons a year that they're pumping at that well now. This permit would allow them to go, if they pumped full at the 400 gallons per minute they want to go to, would basically quadruple that if they pumped at that full rate to 200 million gallons a year.
And Rebecca, the company is expanding the plant. Does that mean more jobs for the area?
Well, Nestle told us that they expect to create 20 more jobs.
Okay. So 20 jobs for a lot of water.
Yeah,
they want to increase.
They say those jobs range in, you know, salary jobs to just kind of hourly rate jobs.
So, Mark, what are the environmental concerns that are being expressed about the pumping of the water?
Well, when they first located this was a big issue because at the time the Great Lakes water levels were low, and this is a part of the Great Lakes water basin, and so there was a lot of concern about overall the fact that you're just pulling water out of one of the Great Lakes aquifers, essentially, and not allowing that to get into the Great Lakes was a concern. The amount they pump really doesn't have a huge effect on water levels in the Great Lakes. So more of the concern is for the headwaters of the rivers up there. Will the wetlands be affected up there? Will the rivers be affected up there when they're drawing water at this kind of a rate? You know, Nestle says they've studied this and it's not going to affect it. But those who want more input say they want to see how they've done this and give it some sunshine so they can look at the research they've done and decide whether they've done their due diligence here.
Now, did I get this right? Under state law, Nestle would only have to pay like a $200 fee to increase this pumping?
That's right. Under Michigan law now, if you have access to a private well, you can pump as much water as you want for free, and Nestle would only have to pay some paperwork filing fees to do that. So, yeah, essentially they're pumping this water out of the ground and not paying the state for that water and selling it.
Rebecca, I would suspect most people, especially those who follow the Environment Report, I wonder if most people are aware of that.
Oh, I don't know that they are necessarily. I think that's something that kind of flies. Some people know it. Some it might fly under the radar for others.
So how did it come to be that the public almost missed its chance to comment on this?
So this permit is under the Office of Drinking Water in the DEQ, and they published the permit application in an online calendar. And a lot of people don't know that that exists. It had been in there since mid-September. But a reporter with MLive found this permit application, and he published a story right before that comment period was going to close. And so that created a lot of uproar after that story was published. The DEQ told us on Friday that before the story was published, they had zero comments. And as of Friday morning, they'd gotten more than 1,700.
So clearly, the public wanted a chance to comment, didn't they, Mark?
They did. This is one of those stories that, you know, if you were around in the early 2000s, you heard about Nestle and they're locating in this county, and it was a big controversial issue. There's a huge lawsuit to prevent Nestle from pumping at a rate they wanted to pump at one of their wells. This is a different well we're talking about, but that was a very controversial issue back then, and so it's kind of come up again for people. They didn't realize that Nestle was trying to increase pumping at a different well.
And so of these, these hundreds and hundreds of comments pouring in, and I'm sure more to come, what kind of comments has the DEQ been getting?
Yeah, they told us that overwhelmingly, as Rebecca pointed out, that, because they didn't have a chance to comment on it, because there was a 45-day comment period, they found out about it and they had 3 days to get their comments in. So overwhelmingly, the comments were saying extend the comment period, and overwhelmingly, they were against the increase in pumping this water.
Why?
Well, essentially, like I said before, this strikes a nerve for people. They would like more review of this process, and they're concerned that Nestle is getting access to a public resource and selling at a profit, and they would like more say in whether Nestle can do that.
So Nestle had submitted its request. The DEQ kind of took a look at it, and was there kind of an affirmative, we could work with this response from the DEQ?
Yeah. So when they first started increasing pumping at this well site, DEQ gave it approval. Then they wanted to go up to 400 gallons per minute, and that tripped another review process within the DEQ. They had initially given the thumbs up to the amount, but then it triggered another regulatory layer they had to then review. And so they are putting it out for – this is a draft. They have not approved this particular permit. They had approved permits before this that allowed them to go up to the 150. So, yeah, the DEQ initially looked at what their company is proposing. They gave it a thumbs up, but it still needs to go through this review process with the public, and then they will decide at the end of this.
But it's very, very clear that the public almost did not get its chance to comment at all. And you were saying they didn't receive any comments at all until this story, and then the floodgates opened.
That's right.
What does the DEQ say about its public comment process?
Well, one thing that we should note is that each division within the DEQ appears to handle public notification differently. So in this case, we were told by Carrie Monosmith, she's with the DEQ's drinking water office, that they're only required by law for bottled water withdrawals like this to do a 45-day comment period. And here's what she told us.
The only thing we are required to do is post a public comment period for 45 days prior to the decision. There is nothing in detail in Section 17 about how the form of that public comment period shall be made known to the public. And at least up until now, we have not had any set procedures on this. But I tell you, it's our decision now that every time, hopefully this is not going to happen very often, but when these come up in the future, we are intending to publish probably notice in the local newspaper and maybe even press release so that the word gets out easier than just looking for it in the calendar.
So it seems that this wasn't a deliberate attempt to keep people in the dark. It was just kind of the way they do it, which doesn't allow for a lot of noising around in the public.
Right. And I think that we saw this actually in the Water Resources Division also. They've moved to putting things in the calendar, this online calendar. And a lot of times that happens instead of it being published in a newspaper. So it depends on the division. Some of them also always publish in the newspaper and others don't. So it depends on entirely in that department.
It was good that Garrett Ellison of MLive found this and alerted the public about it. And it goes to this notion that there aren't a whole lot of environmental reporters out there covering this beat at all times. And so, you know, that's one thing we've lost over time.
And so now what? People can put their comments in, and how long do they have? Where do we stand?
Well, they have extended the public comment period till December 3rd. They are also planning to hold a public hearing. They tell us that they're still looking for a site for that public hearing because they're expecting a lot of people to come. If that public hearing is held beyond the December 3rd date, they will then extend the public comment period beyond December 3rd.
So they are clearly trying to accommodate the public's desire to weigh in on all of this.
Yeah, this took them by surprise, I think, and they are now actively trying to gather public comments on this.
So where can people find out how to post their comment and where to find that?
So you can go to michiganradio.org, and we will have a link to how to comment on the story, the Environment Report story from today.
What's the takeaway? Do we need to explore the question of making a standardized procedure for public comments, not just at the MDEQ, but particularly when we're talking about the environment?
Well, I think that one thing that we did hear from at least one person in the DEQ is that they may be reviewing their process for notifying the public because of this.
That's right. Yeah. So the MDEQ did tell us that they're reviewing how they notify the public. We also talked to people who've been in, you know, following these environmental issues for a long time. And they said there used to be a time when there were a lot of public commissions. There were a lot of there was a lot more public notification and public participation in decisions like this. And that has been whittled away over time, they tell us, that there isn't as much access.
Do we know why it's been whittled away? Does anyone have any – as you talk to people, did anyone have any reasons as to why?
Well, I think some of it is that they just want a more efficient process. Some others will tell you that it was deliberate. but we don't really know why. I think the DEQ is really looking at their procedures, and they tell us, at least, we don't know for sure that they will do this, that they're looking at different ways to interact with the public when these notices come up.
Michigan Radio's Mark Brush and Rebecca Williams, thanks so much for bringing us all up to date on this whole issue of a proposed Nestle plan in West Michigan. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.